I would like to speak about abiding in the Lord. In the Gospel of John, Jesus instructed us to abide in him. Abide, since we're going to be talking about that this morning, let's define what abide means. Abide means to live with, to remain with, to have communion with. Okay, let me repeat that since it's basic to the message. Abide means to live with, to remain with, and to have communion with. We want to have communion with and remain with Jesus, as we were saying during the worship. I want to read along these lines, Psalm 91 and verses 1 to 4. Psalm 91 and verses 1 to 4. It says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." So in these end times in which we are living, we want and need to abide in the secret place of the Most High and to be under the shadow of the Almighty. How much we need to be in that secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty. If people don't see it in these days, I don't know when they're going to see it. And seeing that we are living in these last days and that Jesus' signs of the end times are occurring, we want to and need to abide in the Lord and stay close to him. Abiding in him, we can trust God as our fortress and be confident under his wings. In reference to abiding in him, Jesus began this teaching by saying, "I am the true vine." And we're going to read that in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." By saying true vine, he was indicating that there are other vines that are not good and detrimental to our spiritual life. By saying true vine, Jesus was saying that he alone is the source of true life. He is the source of what a life should be. And the person doesn't really experience what a true life is, what life should be, what it should consist of, unless he is abiding in the Lord. Some people think that life is all about wealth, worldly pleasures, power, influence, fame, but true life only comes from abiding in Jesus. It's not about, whoever has the most toys is the winner. It's not about worldly pleasures. It's not about power and influence. It's not about fame. Think of it. People with power and influence, such as in government, their term is over with, they're out of power. And for the most part, you don't hear about them anymore. Power is gone. Someone else is in power. People with fame. They're famous for a while, maybe make a hit show or a hit movie, and then they die off. The fame doesn't last. That's why there's only true life and true satisfaction in Jesus. A person that gets satisfaction from power or for fame, that source of satisfaction is going to dissipate in time. But the person that gets satisfaction from knowing Jesus and abiding in him, having him in your life, that satisfaction never ends. It could only grow. We want to be attached to and abide in the true vine and receive power and proper nourishment for life. So what did Jesus have to say about abiding in him? If you could turn with me to John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If a branch does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be made full. So in verse 4, Jesus is saying, abide in me. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? Well, number one, our focus should always be on Jesus. Draw life from the Lord by studying his word, which is nourishment for your spirit. Stay in touch with the Lord always through prayer. It's so important. Did you ever have a friend that you never talked to? Well, Jesus is our friend. We want to stay in touch through prayer. Drink living water to a filling and refilling of the Holy Spirit. Abide in Jesus and he in you, because as the song says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There is a saying, which is, you may have seen it up on the screen from time to time, the only one who could satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. And how many people, even Christians, don't realize that they're looking to a different source for satisfaction. It may last for a while, but then that's it. Then it fades away. True satisfaction, lasting satisfaction, only comes from the Lord. Only in Jesus could a person find the true reason for living and the true meaning of life. Only in Jesus will a person know his or her purpose in life. You want to know your purpose in life, so you know in what direction to move. Jesus shows you your purpose in life. You follow him and he will direct you. And he is our purpose for living. So we want to serve him. Only in him could a person's life be complete. A life will never be complete without the Lord. No matter what a person does, what they try to accomplish, a life will never be complete without Jesus. Only in Jesus is there fullness of joy. Only He can properly direct every step of your life. The branch that abides in the vine, which is Jesus, will bear the fruit that He is looking for. Examine your life. We need to examine our lives. Are we bearing the fruit that Jesus is looking for? And how much fruit? We want to bear 100. Jesus said some bear 30, some bear 60, some bear 100. We want to bear 100 for Jesus. And in verse 8, the Lord tells us He wants us to bear much fruit. The only way we can bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus and He in us. Because without Him, we can't accomplish anything. Man is nothing without Jesus. We need Him for our next breath. We don't realize because breathing is involuntary. It's an involuntary reaction of the body. You don't think about it. Like I think to move my arm or something like that. You don't think about breathing. It's involuntary. But you need Jesus for your next breath. In the Old Testament, we have a prominent person who understood what it meant to abide in the Lord. We're going to give an example. If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given me no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now, when the Lord said to Abram, "Look outside and look at the stars, if you could count them, so shall your descendants be," it's not like we look at the sky today at night, and you see some stars. You may see the Big Dipper this type of year, or different planets. Usually like Jupiter or Venus is very prominent. If you get up in the early in the morning, you could see Mars. You could pick out different planets. If you go to an area, an open field, I can remember being in the Badlands National Park. There's no street lights for interference, no major cities there in that area. The sky is plastered with stars. I mean, all over. You can't look up, and unless you're an experienced astronomer, you can't look up and say, "Well, there's a Big Dipper, or there's Venus, or something like that." The sky is plastered with stars. And God told Abraham, "Your descendants will be like the stars of heaven." Notice the communion that Abraham had with God, how he spoke with Him. Because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he got to know Him. Very important. And he believed the word of the Lord and His promises, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I'll read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Talk about faith and believing God. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Abraham went out to receive this inheritance, not knowing where he was going, at the age of 75 years old. That took quite a bit of faith, very strong faith, and a lot of natural energy to do something like that at 75 years old. I don't know if I'll be doing that at 75. I'm 69 now. I don't know if I'd be roaming into a foreign land like that. But Abraham believed God. That's why he did it. Abraham went out to receive this promise, like we said, at 75 years old. This is the faith that he had because he was abiding in the Lord. That's how we had this faith. In verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. If Abraham was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God, it shows that he was abiding in the Lord and his vision was heavenward. For the verses to say he was looking for a city whose builder and architect is God, his vision was upward, it was heavenward. And what does Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 said? Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. This earth is in a mess anyway. Set your mind on things above. Let's turn a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. There it goes again. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting, check that word out, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So we're about 1900 BC, roughly at this point, and it says over there, I will give the land to you for an everlasting possession. You notice Israel, with all the people going against them, you have Iran and the proxy nations that Iran is using go against Israel. You've got, like I said, a drone coming from Lebanon. Many nations of the world are turning against Israel, as is prophesied for end times. But you notice Israel, roughly about the size of New Jersey, is still there. God said an everlasting covenant, and he meant it. Israel is not getting wiped off the map. If anything, when the Lord comes back, it's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. And again, over here in these verses in Genesis chapter 17, we see the communication, the communion that Abraham had with God. He had this communion and knew God because he was abiding in him. Let's read something. Now, this we're going to Genesis chapter 18 and 17 to 33. And you could see the thought of abiding the Lord really driven home in these verses and what happens when you really abide in the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse 17. Enjoy this. This is really good. The Lord said, shall I have, now, I want to give you a little background. Three angels came to visit Abraham in this chapter. One of them was a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus. Now, Jesus, pre-incarnate visit of Jesus, was talking with Abraham. You study this passage, that's what's going on. And it says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing his righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceeding grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come up to me. And if not, I will know. I just want to stop there for a minute. What do you think the Lord is saying when he looks down on America today? If you're watching the news this week, you know what I'm talking about. It just got intensified. In verse 20, and the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. What is the Lord saying about America? We have to really pray for this nation, and that the remnant in this nation wakes up and does what they're supposed to be doing. Verse 21, I will go down now and see they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Watch the communion that Abraham had with the Lord. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far it be from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far it be from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare the whole place on their account. And Abraham replied, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. He spoke to him yet again and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he said, I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. So verse 17 says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he did not hide from him what he was going to do in Sodom. The Lord felt and knew that Abraham, that he could tell Abraham his judgment on Sodom. And verses 22 and 23, because Abraham abode in the Lord and knew him, he was able to intercede with the city of Sodom. From abiding in him, notice how well Abraham began to learn about the character and nature of God, a very important point. Verse 23, Abraham said to the Lord, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verses 24 and 25, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there? Watch what Abraham said. That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It was as if Abraham was saying, I know you, Lord. It's not like you to do something like that. You see how well Abraham knew the Lord and the communion that he had with the Lord because he knew him so well? Do we know God so well that we know his character and nature? You say, well, that was Abraham. He was a patriarch. We could be the same way. You could know God as well as Abraham did, and even better. It's up to us how far we want to go. Do we really want to know the character and nature of God? It sounds like a lofty aspiration. It's possible, especially with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can, you always learn about the character. You can always learn about the character and nature of God. It's not something that happens and say, well, I know God now. It's a lifelong gaining of knowledge, and you get to know him better and better and better. It's wonderful. Do we know God so well that we know his character and nature? We can know the Lord this well by truly abiding in him. We need to know the Lord so much better. Abraham showed dignity, respect, and reverence for the Lord. The beginning of chapter 18 informs us that Abraham fed the Lord and the angels that were with him. He abode in the Lord so much and had so much communion with him that he was called the friend of God. And we could be the friend of God also. It's up to us. Notice that Abraham developed faith and trust in God from abiding in him. It says Abraham believed God. Another example of how Abraham was abiding in the Lord can be seen in the times when he built altars for him. These were places where Abraham would be in communion with and worship God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 reads, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Are we abiding in the Lord? Do we worship the Lord and have the communion with him that Abraham had? Or have the cares of this world and wrong priorities choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving to the Lord? Do we have altars for the Lord in our lives, or do they have to be rebuilt? Have distractions and improper priorities damaged or torn down the altars of your life? How much time do we spend with God in prayer, studying Him and worshiping Him? We don't want to just read about the Lord. We want to study Him and know Him. When you took courses in school, did you just read the textbook, or did you study it and memorize certain parts so you would know your subject matter and you could do well on the test? We want to study the Lord and know Him. There is so much more that we can learn about the Lord. How well do we know Him this morning? As we sang, or as we often sing, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. If you don't seek the Lord and get to really know Him, you are missing out on so much. What priority value do we place on the greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. We need to know Jesus so much better. How can we have strength and wisdom and endurance for the day if we don't spend time with Him? Or as Lauren L. Harris, we saw what he wrote in the song, how can we have strength and wisdom and endurance for the day if we don't spend time with Him? We need to abide in the Lord. We need to have an altar before the Lord. If you don't have an altar before the Lord, that place where you spend quality time with Him every day, build the altar. What about quality time with Jesus? There's an old saying, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Our friends rub off on us. We want Jesus to rub off on us. Imagine that. Are we abiding in Him? What did it say in the song we sang this morning, sitting at the feet of Jesus? May I prove I've been with Jesus. Wow. When Moses came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments, the glow of the Lord was so bright on his face that it had to be covered with the veil. People knew, the Israelites knew, he was in communion. He was with God. Do people know that we have been in communion with Jesus? It will show on our character and personality, and it will show on our faces. Do we spend enough time with Jesus that people can see that we have been with Him? The more you abide in Jesus, the more you will become like Him. Becoming like Jesus should be our goal, our top priority. Here's another example. I'll read to you Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw, these are the rulers of that day, rulers of the temple and so forth. That's who they refers to. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a testimony that is. We want to abide in the Lord. We hope and pray that others will see Jesus in us and that He increases in our life and we decrease, which is also scriptural. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I decrease. We want our lives to give off the fragrance of Jesus. There's a song which is a favorite of mine. It's called Jesus Rose of Sharon, Bloom Within My Heart. Are we giving off as that flower, the fragrance? That some flowers have a beautiful fragrance. a rose? Are we throwing off the fragrance of Jesus? Do we possess, are we so filled with him that people around us know we are filled with Jesus? Our lives, our actions, our speech throw off a fragrance of Jesus. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart. It should be a priority for us. We don't want the Lord to have to tell us, I miss my time with you, as we heard this morning. Maybe he's saying already, I don't know. The Lord wants to spend quality time with us. We should feel extremely privileged that the Lord wants to spend quality time with us. We should ignore him when the Lord wants to spend quality time with us. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to abide in the Lord and spend quality time with him? We want to spend quality time with the Lord, abiding in him and he in us. We want to have an altar before the Lord, as Abraham did, where we could spend time with him, where we could get to know God much better, where we could worship him. Maybe we need to rebuild the altars this morning. We need to abide in the Lord and spend quality time with him.